Greetings, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Musical Connections Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Snow, and this is the show where you will discover more about the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. So, come on a journey with me and explore what makes the music scene of Newfoundland and Labrador so special and so interesting. I got another great show lined up for you this week, and we are going to be kicking off our road to the East Coast Musical Awards. Of course, they're coming back home to Newfoundland and Labrador May 7th to the 11th here in St. John's, and we're going to kick off our sets of interviews that'll lead up to the big event itself. And you'll also be hearing some interviews at the conference, on the red carpet, and a whole lot more. So stay tuned to my socials for that. I'll be connecting with one of the nominees for Electronic Release of the Year, classical guitarist Ben Diamond. His song Something Sod is up for Electronic Release of the Year, and that comes from his album Voyage, which came out back in October. We talked to the Montreal-based artist about that album and the song, and how excited he is to be coming back home to St. John's for the East Coast Music Awards. We also talk about his beginnings here in St. John's, plus why he decided to move to Montreal, who his inspirations are for studying classical guitar, and a whole lot more. It was great to catch up and get to meet Ben Diamond for the first time, and I'm looking forward to meeting him face-to-face when the East Coast Music Awards are back here in St. John's in a few months. We're going to get to that right after we get through the newfound releases of the week, and they are definitely back in the single digits, as I said last week. I'm not going to have 30 releases ever again, maybe next year when the RPM Challenge is on the go, but still a respectable number of releases this week, and these songs came out or were submitted between March 2nd to the 8th. And we kick off newfound releases this week with a guy we haven't heard in about a few years or so. Brad Tuck is up first. And his last release was 2023's Songs for Christmas Time with Rosemary Lawton. Here's Brad Tuck for you now on the Musical Connections Podcast with Sarah Deer.
Closed my eyes and thought of you and figured we'd be fine. So I quickly took a sprig of blue and put you out of me mind. The sun was over tops of bluff, I closed me blinds and had enough. And there I laid a spinning down, was up and day was night. The clock keeps ticking as we burn the days away. The work is in the city but the party's in the bay. And maybe I don't take the time to say what I should say, but I doubt that it would matter anyway. Cause we're better off alone, Sarah dear. Yes, we're better off alone, Sarah. Nights I laid alone down on a bed of rock and stone, just staring at me bloody phone and not a wink of sleep. An empty glass lay by the bed, a bottle of rum upon me head, and there I laid a spinning taste and lamps and counting sheep. I saw the picture that you took when you were in your news, the singing and the laughing, the party and the booze. To see his arm around you and the smirk upon your face, that I knew that we were headed separate ways. Cause we're better off alone, Sarah dear. Yes, we're better off alone, Sarah. In our sails, didn't know where we would go, but the wind was in our sails, didn't know where we would go, but the wind was in our sails, the wind was in our sails. Ah! From across the pump, her eyes were all aglow. At first she did remind me of the girl I used to know, you know. Her head laid on me shoulder as we stumbled down the street. When we made it back to Killigrew, she swept me off me feet. I woke up in the morning, she was nowhere to be seen. But still it was me, Sarah, that consoled me in my dreams. And maybe I'm just meant to be a foolish, lonely man. So here I am spinning round again. Cause we're better off alone, Sarah dear. Yes, we're better off alone. Sarah Dear. Cause we're better off alone, Sarah Dear. Yes, we're better off alone, Sarah Dear.
Lovely new tune there from Brad Tuck. That was Sarah Dear for you on Newfound Releases. We now go to a set of tunes from Coker's Hat. Now, we haven't heard from these guys in about 3 or 4 years, as their debut single, That Song, was put out around 2021. And they lost their original bassist, Daryl Whiteway. Of course, Daryl Whiteway passed away. And they have since filled that void with Jordan Young and Leah Vokey Singh. Leah Vokey Singh plays on fiddle and vocals, and then Jordan Young plays on bass and vocals. First things first, thanks to the guys for sending me two of these tunes. So here's the one that I chose. Here are Coker's Hat for you now on the Musical Connections podcast with The Bachelor.
Soaking, I was picking up the pieces that laid shattered on the floor. I tried to persuade her with the tale it was in my favor. Nothing I said would matter as she walked right out the door. I went back to being a bachelor, as if nothing else would matter. Tried to keep my chin up for better days to come. The nights they got so lonely without my one and only. Picked myself up off the floor, went out to have some fun. Were blue as the ocean, her hair was long and brown. She had a way about her that would bring a man to the ground. Told me that she loved me as she went on her way. She left my heart in pieces, so a bachelor I will stay. And other ones I sported, none of them could compare to the lovely Annabelle. Ever since the day we parted, I've been so broken-hearted. A bachelor's life it's gonna be till I bid my last farewell. Her eyes were blue as the ocean, her hair was long and brown. She had a way about her that would bring a man to the ground. Told me that she loved me as she went on her way. She left my heart in pieces. A bachelor I will stay. Her eyes were blue as the ocean, her hair was long and brown. She had a way about her that would bring a man to the ground. Told me that she loved me as she went on her way. She left my heart in pieces. Well, her eyes were blue as the ocean, her hair was long and brown. She had a way about her that would bring a man to the ground. Told me that she loved me as she went on her way. She left my heart in pieces. So a bachelor I will stay.
That was Coker's Hat for you on the Musical Connections podcast with The Bachelor. We now go to a young lady who we haven't heard from in about a year or so, Courtney Madison. She put out her debut single, Good Things Never Last, back in November of 2023. And they've been working in the studio for quite some time now, and I say this song was definitely worth the wait. Courtney Madison for you now on the Musical Connections podcast with Fair.
Look at this feeling. to go, I go. But it's winter now, and I'm feeling so cold, cold. And I know when you know you're not okay. I wish you were here and here to stay. And I know when you know my love for you will never go away, away. How is this fair to me? Isn't it clear to see right now that you were never there for me? But I still love you somehow, and tell me why, oh why, did you have to change overnight? And tell me why, oh why, you do the things you do, knowing every piece of me was you. And now I'm stuck here on my own, with nowhere to go, cause you were my whole.
Courtney Madison for you on the Musical Connections podcast with Fair, and the they that I was referring to in my last segment there, the they I'm talking about are David Shears and Paul Brake, who are the co-producers of this song, and they were working with Courtney Madison on this brand new tune, and I'd say more are in the works as the weeks and months roll on. We now go to our album drop of the week. It comes from Forthright. Their album Remission came out back on Saturday, with an album release show at the Rock House to boot. Right now from their album Remission, here are Forthright for you on the Musical Connections podcast with Blood Moon.
The night, something creeps in my eyes. Plagued without sleep, there is life beyond these trees. And the sky is filled with misery. From the dead.
nothing but affliction.
This is the Musical Connections podcast. That was Forthright with Blood Moon. We now go to our next release, which comes from the 2025 RPM Challenge. Now, we only have two of our releases this week from the RPM Challenge compared to the 21 that we had last week. Our release this week from the RPM Challenge comes from Latecomer. When this guy was filling out the form, he said his name was Matt, but didn't give me a last name, so I'll just call you Matt. This is his project for the RPM Challenge called Latecomer. And from the album Blick a Black a Block, try saying that 10 times fast, with Passing Train Syndrome on the Musical Connections podcast.
Thank you. you're talking about.
Lake Comer for you on the Musical Connections podcast with Passing Train Syndrome. Our next newfound release is our second of our RPM Challenge submissions. It comes from The Lost and Found. It is the brainchild of Ben Chapman Smith and Pat Sloan. And stay tuned to Musical Connections. You may be hearing these guys in the very near future talking about this brand new project. Right now from their RPM submission album, Lies and Bad Intentions, here are The Lost and Found on the Musical Connections podcast with Put Me Out to Pasture.
First thing by the light of day, you never really needed to say my name, but you did, and now I'm in so much trouble. Nothing right is on the wind. It's the perfect day for the foul mood I'm in for you. So just put me out. Just put me out.
That was The Lost and Found for you on Musical Connections with Put Me Out to Pasture. Our last newfound release of the week comes from electronic synth duo out of Cornerbrook called White Rhino, and they spell it W-I-T-E-R-I-N-O. They are a group that have been together since 2013, and they have been making up tasty scoops of unique electronic music, blending influences from video game soundtracks, psychedelic rock, and experimental electronica into their high-energy, genre-defying performances. Thank you to Nigel Jenkins, who is, of course, the founder of Laughing Heart Music. This is part of the subsidiary called Milltown Records. And this is a song from their upcoming album, Dream Tower, set to come out May 1st. And you'll be hearing these guys on Musical Connections as guests down the road. Right now, from their upcoming album, Dream Tower, here are White Rhino for you now with Bottom Floor on the Musical Connections podcast. That wraps up our Newfound releases for this week. For any Newfoundland and Labrador musicians out there who want to be a part of Newfound releases in the future, you can find out more about how you qualify by heading over to my Linktree. Head on over to Linktree/ZachSnowNL, and there in the Musical Connections Resources tab, you'll find my Newfound Releases Guide. And if you have any other questions, comments, or concerns about this segment, feel free to email musicalconnectionsnl@gmail.com. Newfound Releases is over. It's time to welcome my guest to the Musical Connections podcast this week, and we begin our road to the ECMAs as they are coming back to Newfoundland and Labrador this year, May 7th to the 11th in St. John's. I'm going to be having a series of interviews throughout the next couple of weeks and months leading up to the big festival starting May 7th. I connect with one of the recent nominees for Electronic Release of the Year, Montreal-based but St. John's-born classical guitarist Ben Diamond. His song Something Sod is up for Electronic Release of the Year, and that comes from his album Voyage, which came out back in October. We talk about the making of the record and Something Sod, and we also talk about how he started in music. From growing up in St. John's to playing with his father and listening to Stevie Ray Vaughan records and classic rock records, and why he decided to pursue classical music and why he moved to Montreal to study for it. We have all that and more coming up this week on the Musical Connections podcast, so let's connect right now in Montreal with classical guitarist and a nominee for Electronic Release of the Year, Mr. Ben Diamond. Welcome back to the Musical Connections podcast. It is the show where you'll discover more about the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. Zach Snow here, and congratulations goes out to all the nominees from this province who are up for East Coast Music Awards. 54 nominations have been announced for this province, and you'll be getting sick of hearing me talk about this over the next 2 months. We'll be talking with many of the nominees that are up for East Coast Music Awards, and we get a head start with a nominee that is up for Electronic Release of the Year for his song, Something Sod. It comes from his album, Voyage, which came out back in October. And joining me now from Montreal, we have classical guitarist Ben Diamond. Ben, welcome to Musical Connections, buddy.
Good morning, Zach. It's a pleasure to be on the show. Thanks so much.
Well, it's morning in Montreal. It's afternoon here in St. John's. But thanks so much for joining me. And congratulations again are in order for your East Coast Music Award nomination.
Yeah, cheers, buddy. And congratulations to you, too. This has been really feeling surreal. And I've been really happy with this process. And to kick it off through the Musical Connections podcast really means a lot to me. And I really appreciate you reaching out.
Absolutely. And of course, it's connecting Newfoundland and Labrador music to the world. No matter where you are, you could be in a place like Montreal, you could be in a place like Edmonton, Alberta, you could be in the Maritimes, but your roots really run deep here as you were born and raised here in St. John's. So congratulations again.
Yeah, thanks so much. And I find myself in a lot of places these days, but Newfoundland and Labrador is on my sleeve at all times. And I seriously wouldn't be who I am today if it wasn't for our incredible community. And so I just really owe the pleasure to remind myself and remind everybody that I'm from Newfoundland and Labrador. And we really make something so special out of that little town there in St. John's. And to be part of this scene and to be coming home for the ECMAs, it's like a dream. And I'm really, really stoked.
Now, right off the hop here, Ben, how excited are you to be up for an East Coast Music Award for Electronic Release of the Year?
This has been really feeling quite nice. And honestly, it's directly related to my career goals, expanding outside of just that of a classical guitarist. Because and going into this, I had a lot more expectations that I would be nominated for some sort of classical award. But of course, you never know what's coming these days. And so it's interesting to see that the electronic release of the year was what I was nominated for, and I'm really, really happy with that. And so the piece that I was nominated for, Something Sod, was written for me by my friend also from Newfoundland, Luke Blackmore. And so that would be the opening track of the album. And I think that it comes as no surprise to me because of just how masterful of a creation that is by my friend Luke. And he's just an expert mind of working with electronics. And so that, in combination with the colorful nature of the classical guitar, I'm sure earned itself a seat on that nomination list. And so to be part of a list of people from home and from people from the East Coast for this electronic category means a lot to me, and to represent the electronic music segment of the ECMAs is something that I'm really stoked about.
Absolutely. And it comes from your album Voyage, which you put back out in October, and you called it an album music or music for guitar and electronics is what I should be saying there. So I want to go into that now. You put that out back in October. What was it like making that record?
Yeah, that's correct. It's a music for guitar and electronics album. And so that means a variety of things. And so as a classical slash guitarist of the contemporary day, it's very common that we like to experiment with the technologies around us because, I mean, there's just so many possibilities these days. And so really, I feel as though this album serves as a sequel to my first album that came out back in 2020/2021 titled Prime. And so that is a collection of Canadian guitar music, largely from Newfoundland as well. And so on that album, I actually have two pieces with electronics. And so the electronic content on that album is that of fixed media or tapes. And so really, as a guitarist back then, really my job with these pieces was to basically interact and work with the electronics as if they were another musician. And so the entire process is about deep listening and really a collaborative process to that of like chamber music. So like a duo with another musician or something like that. And so going forward, I recognized this to be something that was really off the beaten path. And so nobody's really collected a whole concert before of music for guitar and electronics. And so going forward, it was around this time that I had decided to pursue my master's degree at McGill here in Montreal, which is also a very progressive and vibrant music scene. And so it became a no-brainer decision that in my master's studies that I would begin the collection process of music for guitar and electronics. In my first year master's recital, I had performed a piece written for me by the Mexican composer based out of British Columbia named Marco Neri, and that piece is titled Resonantes. That's the album closer. And then the other bookend is Something Sad, which I was nominated for by Luke Blackmore, which I gave in my second year master's recital. And then throughout the years, I've also just been really enjoying music for this type of medium for guitar and electronics. I've just done a little bit of research, gone to concerts, and came across all these pieces that really mean so much to me. And so the name also, Voyage, that is directly inspired by Andrew Stanland's piece, another household name in St. John's. And so his piece that I recorded is titled Dreaded Sea Voyage. And so I basically pulled that name Voyage from the piece of his. And not only is it about, you know, the dreaded sea voyage of going through outer space and experiencing difficult times, but it's also related to every piece in that there's some sort of journey that we have to go on. And so I couldn't think of a better theme for this album, not just with the electronics, but also the stories that they tell of perseverance, of passion, and of change.
That's wonderful. Now, of course, I've heard of your name for about a few years now. I've seen you on NTV once upon a time during an Our Time segment with Becky Daly, and that's how I found out about you. But I've always known about your name and just how talented you are on the guitar. So for people who may not know much about Ben Diamond, tell us a little bit about yourself and you know, how this all started for you.
Yeah, I appreciate the shout out to Becky Daly and Our Time. That was really fun to film that about a couple years ago. And so really it all started for me. One day I was hearing my dad play Pride and Joy by Stevie Ray Vaughan on the couch. And so this was around the time that I had already acquired some musical learning through the piano and through music for young children and such. And so it just really caught my attention, the color and the sound and the fun of playing guitar. And so then I basically, you know, as a naive kid, decided that I wanted to try that someday myself. And then 15 minutes later, after my dad played this song, I was playing it too. And so then it basically became a show. It basically became a thing where that I had to go to guitar lessons. And so at that point, I started with my favorite first guitar teacher of all time, my friend Charlie Barfoot, who's also in the town, kind of based out of CBS and St. John's as well.
Okay.
And we basically had started rock. We also did some jazz, blues. And eventually, I just became so curious and open-minded about all the different genres of guitar. And so I had basically just been jamming out in my bedroom with my amp and my Fender Strat for about 3.5 years from 9 to 12, and then recognized that in my junior high school at St. Paul's down on Newfoundland Drive, that there was a really vibrant music program there. And so it basically became time to audition for the jazz ensembles. And so that's what really helped kind of draw the bridge between my youngest self and my current self at the time, because I could read music and I could listen to ensembles, I could follow directions. And at the same time, I had the technical chops. And so that's when I really started my passion for other genres such as jazz, and my teachers at that school also really encouraged me to also try playing fingerstyle music. So I was playing them like some steel string music that by like, you know, Fleetwood Mac, the Beatles and stuff. And then eventually came across classical guitar because I also just happened to really enjoy the sound of the nylon instruments. And so by this point, I was already playing a lot of different styles of guitar, and I just really kind of considered myself to be a guitarist. And so then as the years progressed from there, I, you know, finished junior high, went to Holy Heart High School, of course, another really big music program in St. John's. And so by that point, I was playing trombone, double bass, singing in choirs, you know, your typical band kid. And so by that time, I just knew for sure that I was going to study music. And so I think that it was in my earlier 20s when I was in undergrad that I was really focused on classical guitar. But interestingly enough, it's been almost as though it's been this curve up and down, because these days I find myself coming back to my well-roundedness. And so these days I also happen to play in a band with some friends up here in Montreal. We play original indie music. I was playing electric guitar this past weekend with 100 other electric guitars by my composer friend Tim Brady. And so that was an interesting concert to give. I still love the jazz style. I love playing rock. I teach all styles as well. And so really the main thing that I like to just brand myself as is a guitarist. And so if you want to find my music, however, it's going to be largely contemporary music. I love working with composers. I love collaborations, and pretty much anything that keeps me open-minded and creative is what really drives the bus, and I love it.
Absolutely, man. And it's crazy to believe that you played the weekend with 100 other different guitarists. That's insane. And when you consider the size of Montreal to our we want to say city of St. John's, but like compared to Montreal, it's kind of compared to like a town. It's pretty crazy to believe how much music is in Montreal compared to St. John's. So who are some of the other artists that you've looked up to when it came to, you know, your style of music? Because I know when you first started this, you said earlier that you saw your dad play Stevie Ray Vaughan's Pride and Joy. And then you also were inspired by the likes of the Beatles and Fleetwood Mac, especially Lindsey Buckingham, who I find is one of the music's most underrated guitarist. Who are some of the other artists you've looked up to?
Yeah, and so I think that it was actually from the point of Stevie Ray Vaughan and a whole bunch of other electric guitarists that I just became really passionate about playing loud, playing expressive. And so I think that my childhood favorite electric guitarist was Eddie Van Halen. And so that was that was a big moment when he passed only recently as well, too. I had to learn all his songs, and I just found that like his playing just brought so much color, so much passion, so much pride. And so I found that that was something that really appealed to me growing up, was guitarists that really put on a show. And so that also was around the time that I was working with Charlie in my guitar lessons and learning how to, you know, pluck with my fingers. And as well as it was at this time that I came across the music of Tommy Emmanuel. And so he actually was in St. John's about 6 years ago, I want to say. And I went to that concert, and he really was the reason why I put the pick down altogether, because I saw that he could actually play these beautiful songs by, you know, the Beatles, American folk songs, as well as his original compositions, all in one voice, on one instrument. And so it blew my mind that somebody could play the melody and the chords at the same time. And so I just had to try that myself someday.
That's insane. So Tommy Emmanuel, have you ever spoke to him about this? Have you ever met him?
My goodness, yes. I'm so grateful to have done that. It was actually a birthday gift that my dad gave to me when I was 12.
No way.
We went to visit him in Toronto. That's right. And then 7 years later, he came to St. John's. And as soon as the tickets went up on the website, I had to get them. And then I met him again and talked about what it meant to me to play for him in Toronto. And I played Purple Haze by Jimi Hendrix, another idol of mine. And at that point, I was talking about my classical years, because this is when I was really intensive in the performance program at MUN. And I talked about how I literally told him to his face that I wouldn't really be here without him just inspiring me to get up on stage and perform as a soloist. And so also, I guess on that note, I mean, classical guitar is what I love to do. I have nails on my hands that allow me to play classical traditions, and I absolutely adore playing classical music by living composers. And so there's no doubt that I also wouldn't be here without my main mentor in this journey, Steve Cowan, who is from St. John's. And he was my teacher at McGill for 3 years, who was open-minded and as well as incredible as a mentor to guide me in the importance of conversations in music. And so the last couple of years that I spent with him, we've been learning how to study the score with passion, learning how to really listen critically and effectively in a way that allows our creative minds to combine detail work with big picture music making to create meaningful conversations. musicians on stage. And so big shout out to Steve there for sure. And I have a whole list of other wonderful classical guitarists that I love and look up to each day. And some of them I can even call friends because, you know, the classical music scene and even more so the classical guitar community is so close-knit that you could be friends with your heroes and go out for a drink with them and go to their concerts and they'll come to yours.
Yeah, and that like meaning of, you know, meeting your idols and all of a sudden those idols become your friends. We've all had that kind of notion back in the day when, you know, growing up as like, you know, as an aspiring media person, as an aspiring classical guitarist, you look at these guys and it's like, oh my God, you guys are awesome. And then when you get to meet them, you go out for a drink with them and then everything's fine and dandy. It's that moment of like, you know, being starstruck and stuff. But on the note of McGill, you said Steve Cowan taught up in Montreal at McGill University for a few years when you were up there and you're still up there today. Why move to Montreal in the first place?
That's a really good question because, of course, I had actually let go of quite a lot in St. John's. It was at the point where I had finished my undergrad. And this was during 2021 in the years we don't really talk about during the pandemic and such. So it was it had its whole other complications, of course, with restrictions and such. And so I had actually just felt that the timing was right at the time because it was so important, and I think that it's a really valuable experience for musicians to just kind of try and wear a new hat and write a new chapter and obtain a new broad perspective. And now the likelihood of me coming back to St. John's to be based out of is increasing each day, of course, but I definitely do love it here. It offers me a lot of brand new perspectives, brand new ideas. And so these past couple of years, I feel as though I've still been connected to St. John's, thankfully. Like this past summer, I was invited to play the opening concert for the Tuckamore Chamber Music Festival, and that was back in August. I also have presented with Sound Symposium on a few occasions, and I come back and book solo shows and such. And then at the same time, Montreal also provides to me the access to a pretty stable teaching career these days, and as well as there's a lot of contemporary music at large here in Montreal. And as well as I just feel as though McGill was the next obvious step because it was actually prior to McGill that I had met Steve and he had recruited me and that we've worked together on a few occasions before that. And so when it came to time to decide to do a master's degree, not only was I gaining the experience of trying a new city and going to a new school, a new place, and having such a big, broad new change, but also to develop my passion for contemporary music with Steve, was it all just worked hand in hand.
That's amazing, my friend. And right now, you're teaching out of the Tracy Steele Music Academy. You're also a freelance classical guitarist as well. You're teaching young musicians that are, you know, really just starting to cut their teeth in music, how to play the guitar like you learned how to play guitar back in the day. So what do you enjoy most about teaching music?
It's definitely a great feeling because I can't believe that I actually get to, you know, make ends meet through doing what I love to do. It's it really just is a reminder that the thing that I call a job is just an extension of what I do as an artist each day. And so really what I love to try to remind my students is that we're so privileged that we can do this. It's that the fact of the matter is that we are healthy, able-bodied beings that have fingers that can make such beautiful art out of our instruments. And so even if it's an absolute beginner, just to enjoy the simplicities and just enjoy the small things. Oftentimes, if I start with a beginner student, be it classical, steel string, electric, or whatever, one of the first lessons I'll give is on the four chords that generate a lot of songs. And even those chords just happen to be on the top three strings. And so to play the E minor chord, you can just play an open third string, second string, first string. For all the guitar fans, you obviously know what I'm talking about. But for anybody who's not a guitarist, the guitar has six strings, of course. So it makes a lot of sense to start somebody in an accessible manner to just start making music. And so I just help really iterate to my students that it's the small victories that make a really big deal.
Absolutely, man. And right now, I see the sweater right here on the video here. You are, I believe you were at one of the Harbor Voices festivals over the course of the past couple of years. The Harbor Voices did come here to St. John's back in July. Were you there by chance?
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't miss it. This was just happened to be a 2-week break between teaching semesters, and I just had to come down, check out Jacob Collier, one of my heroes as well, and also reunite with my my youth choir and adult choir quintessential vocal ensemble that has had a tremendous impact on my musical expression and creativity each day. And so it just happened to work out such that I I had got to enjoy some time with family and friends and kind of dip my toes with as much Harbor Voices content as I could and sing with Jacob Collier, watch him conduct me. I don't think I'll ever forget that. And as well as to sing with Susan again in QVE really meant so much to me. And what a testament to the importance of music education and to funding the arts and to keeping the arts alive, because it benefits all of us to when we benefit and upraise our culture and our artistic expression, then everybody wins.
Oh, 1,000%. And I was lucky enough to see one of the Harbor Voices performances. That's just right outside the office here at Cliff Barrett's Cove here in downtown St. John's. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it in my life. I never got to see the Jacob Collier concert, but I can only imagine that must have been an experience of a lifetime and just the success that he's gone off to now, like winning Grammys and getting nominated for Grammys. It's pretty insane on someone like him coming to our province and really, taking the music of this province to a whole new level.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And what I found so inspiring by Jacob was his humility and his just overall positivity. You know, a thing about an artist, everybody I've named today, you don't have to absolutely love all of their tracks. But for me, I happen to really love his Jesse Volume 4 that came out last year, and Bridge Over Troubled Water got a Grammy and such. And so to see somebody of such astounding career success and have some of the best collaborations in the world just come to St. John's and treat us equally really meant a lot. And his concert was just so humbling, and it was exactly perfect as a way of encapsulating the importance of music. And it's something that we all have in common, is the love for music. And so Jacob basically worked his magic and got us all singing songs using our phone lights and coming along and making it a really collaborative concert. And we had some politicians in the audience for that concert too. And so it just really gave a very direct in-your-face message about the empowerment of music. And so I wish I got to meet him and talk to him personally. Maybe I'll try to do that one day, but I really appreciate everything that he does to promote well-roundedness in music, creativity, and just having so much fun, because even on days that the practice session doesn't go so well, we can still say that music is an emotional outlet and an emotional refuge. And I owe so much of who I am and what I've become to music, and I thank music, and I'm sure that he does too, and we thank Jacob for what he does for music.
Yeah, and I can only imagine that the Harbor Voices Festival may be back here next year or something, because that was such a really unique concept that I was interested to see how it would turn out. And it turned out to be one of the best things I've experienced. Now, of course, I've only seen that church that performs. I was right in front of the church. Actually, right in front of the courthouse, actually, I should say, not the church. But it's still really surreal to see what music can do to, help the downtown come alive.
Oh, yeah. And the Harbor Voices was just one of many real bangers that happened last year, last summer, too. I mean, there was also the Sound Symposium a week or so after, and that was a two-week gathering of new collaborative creative musicians of all sorts of mediums in St. John's. There was also really big events like Churchill Park that brought Pitbull, Shania Twain, and the Iceberg Alley. I remember I went to some concerts there. And when you fund the arts, you can also bring everybody together and just have a really good time. And I mean, there's really nothing better than going to concerts in St. John's in the summer. It really does feel like the best feeling, and to be part of this career has reminded me that what we do is so special and so unique. And what I would also like to kind of tie in is that we can't really have none of this if we are looking at putting music education and the humanities on its head. I mean, the last couple of months I've been reading about proposals from the government provincially to try and really cut music to a really large extent. And myself and all my prior music educators have been actively rebelling against this, because none of us would be here if we never had passionate music teachers uplifting us and providing us escapes in difficult circumstances and the overall community that music has and well-rounding education. And there's just no need for it. And so I think that it's reminders such as the East Coast Music Awards, Harbor Voices, Iceberg Alley, all these amazing things that we have to offer, that we have to keep music education and the humanities as a stronghold. And if anything, we need to support it more and actually not cut it. So please don't do that.
Amen to that, brother. Now, there was one speech that came out recently. Actually, no, I'm going to go back to 2018 with the Barenaked Ladies accepted their nomination or their induction, I should say, into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame. Jim Cregan followed Tyler Stewart and said, this band would not exist without public school music education. And music education is very important because a lot of the bands you would see these days would not exist. One good example for me is Quote the Raven. Jordan and Kirsten met in choir in high school, and look where they're to now. How important, though, is music education to the development of our music scene here?
Oh, it's everything. And I love those guys. Shout out to Quote the Raven. I'm sure that you'll have them on the podcast too. They make awesome music. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to hanging out with those guys. And the coincidence of all this is that at the ECMAs, I'm going to meet a bunch of my colleagues who I met in high school, who I met in Memorial University in the music program there. And music education is the cultural fabric of the education system at large. It is everywhere, and it is really what ties in every department of music, and as well as education at large. And so I actually have a hard time trying to imagine what the school system is like without music. Of course, that's where I spent most of my days, was as the band kid. I had to do all the ensembles. But I have lots of really close friends that I talk to all the time from St. John's who are into completely other careers, be it business, police academy, engineering, medicine, who have all thrived and obtained extremely valuable career aspects and as well as personality traits through music. And so you don't have to be Ben Diamond or Quote the Raven or Tim Baker to have a quality music education experience. It's just to have somebody there picking up an instrument and expressing themselves and iterating the importance of community. That is an extremely valuable trait that not every aspect of education can provide, but music certainly does. And so I feel as though it's unfair and ripping the potential of everybody into to be better selves, to learn so much and to engage in such sensory activities, to possibly rip education and to rip the music education programs. It's unfair. It's unspeakable.
Yeah, we can definitely be speaking about that for probably like an hour or maybe all day, really. But Yeah, but I want to really get to wrapping this interview up, too, because I want to get to one of your songs from your album, Voyage, which you sent me recently. But I want to talk about one of your honors that you received back in 2021. You were named by CBC Music one of the top 30 under 30 classical musicians. To get an acknowledgement like that from CBC Music, what was that like for you?
This definitely came at a time where I found that to be extremely valuable, and it's also not only a pleasure to represent Newfoundland through this award, but also the classical guitar scene. So it was very honorable to have the spotlight on me for that as one of, 29 other people, because it's, of course, 30 musicians under 30. And so oftentimes you see, the big cities, the epicenters like Toronto, Goodhead, Vancouver, Edmonton, Montreal, of course, and they're all people that are, winning orchestral seats, winning competitions in Europe and all this stuff. But really what they had decided to highlight in my honor was the first album that I had put out, Prime. I had also co-started the Atlantic Guitar Society with my one of my also heroes in the local scene, Steve Murphy, who is a fantastic composer and guitarist that I work with and perform his music written for me sometimes. And so between, I guess, the album, the Atlantic Guitar Society, finishing my undergrad, there was just an abundance of meaningful career success that happened. And so somebody anonymously approached Robert Rowett, the director of this 30 Under 30 program, about me. Whoever you are, I love you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And really, as a token and going forward, what I want to embody with this 30 Under 30 and ECMA recognition is just to basically continue doing what's true to me. And so if it's any bit of advice for other, 30 under 30 musicians, be it classical, rock, pop, it's just to keep being yourself and stay true to your values, because I love working with composers. I love community building, and I love education and doing all these different things that are true to me. Don't try to be somebody else, because when you be yourself, that's when you're your best. And then people take note of that.
Oh, 1,000%. Now, of course, the East Coast Music Awards are going to be coming to St. John's May 7th to the 11th. May 8th is when the gala is going to be at the Mary Brown Center, and it's going to be a time. And I can only imagine that you're going to be coming back home to St. John's to be at the East Coast Music Awards. Any other future plans besides that, Ben?
Yeah, thanks so much. I already got my flights booked. I'm looking forward to that.
Awesome. So,
this weekend, I'm actually taking off down to Connecticut for their Connecticut Guitar Guild Guitar Society series. I have a concert booked with my cello duo partner, Kyla Davidson from Idaho, and we also have a concert booked here on April 6th in Montreal, and as well as I'm going to be playing a show with my indie band, and so I have a couple of projects lined up. I have an EP coming out on Earth Day this coming April of music by Steve Murphy, who I was talking about a second ago, an arrangement of a choir piece titled Northern Lights by Ola Yellow from Iceland. I have, of course, the East Coast Music Awards. I will be coming again to St. John's for night music on June 19th, and so I'll be brainstorming what exactly I'm going to play at that time, but I'm looking forward to spending the vast majority of my summer at home in St. John's for the first time in a long time. So you can follow me for more specific details and activities at Ben Diamond Guitarist on Facebook and Instagram, and as well as occasionally when I get around to updating my website, www.bendiamond/classicalguitarist.com.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask where people can find you on social media on your website, but you've already covered that. I'll wrap up with this. You mentioned the night music at the Ship, and the Ship is probably one of the best venues in town to play, and especially for up-and-coming musicians to really, you know, cut their teeth down there and really, you know, learn what it's like to be a musician. What's your favorite place to play here in Newfoundland and Labrador, and why?
Oh my goodness! I think the Ship is definitely one of them. It's I've had some really good memories of playing down there in the Ship, and I just love it there so much. And geez, I honestly think that in terms of nostalgia, I love playing at the Music School of Mun. I've booked many concerts at the Suncor Energy Hall, and that's where I would go give performance classes in the guitar department. I've been going there as young as junior high school for stuff like the Rotary Music Festival, and then going forward in Holy Heart, my days there, we would go in and out of the music school there. And I just, I love the music school at Memorial University. It's a big part of who I am and a big part of my musical journey thus far. And I love playing there, and I love every opportunity that I get to go present myself there. And as well as, I'd also like to give a shout out. There's a concert with the Atlantic Guitar Society happening this weekend, actually, with my friend Tommy Dupuis from Quebec as well. And so I believe that's going to be this Saturday on the March the 8th, and he'll be presenting a concert at Intervals Music Studio. And so if you're a classical guitarist and if you like my music, then I'm sure you'll like his too.
Awesome. Well, Ben Diamond, it's been an absolute pleasure to get to know you a little better and connect with you, especially now that you're up for an East Coast Music Award for Electronic Release of the Year for Something Sod from the album Voyage. I cannot wait to see you here in person at the East Coast Music Awards when they come back here to St. John's starting May 7th. It's going to be a time, and I'm looking forward to spending that with you, Ben. Thank you so much for doing this.
Likewise, buddy. Thanks so much for the conversation, and I look forward to meeting you in person.
That was classical guitarist Ben Diamond as my guest on Musical Connections. You can find out more about Ben Diamond, what he's up to, listen to his music, and all of his social links by going to bendiamond-classicalguitarist.com. And here is that song that is up for Electronic Release of the Year from the album Voyage. Here is Ben Diamond with Something Sod on the Musical Connections podcast. Thank you.
That wraps up the Musical Connections podcast. A big thank you to Ben Diamond for being my guest this week, and to every single musician who contributed their songs for newfound releases. If you're listening to this for the first time or just joining me once again, help me be a part of my mission of growing our Newfoundland and Labrador music sector one song at a time. How can you do that? By sharing this podcast with your friends, telling them about the music that has been played on the show, and sharing this with your friends and your family's friends and so on and so forth. You can also leave reviews on the podcast platforms that I post this show on, whether it be Apple, Spotify, RSS, and make sure to follow and not miss an episode. It will really mean the world to me if you spread the word about this show. It'll spread the word about the podcast, the music of Newfoundland and Labrador, which is the most important thing that I want to get with this podcast. Next week, we're going to take a little break from our coverage from the East Coast Music Awards, as we're going to be connecting with a drummer who has played with Baytown, the Cartridge Family, and the Daisy Cutters. I connect with Michael Dinn. He is part of a group called Smoke Spectre and the Vaudevillains. So Smoke Spectre was the RPM Challenge submission that I featured last week on Newfound Releases, and we talked to him all about that, plus some more projects he's got on the go, like Grogbit, the Vaudevillains, and his projects from the past like Baytown, the Daisy Cutters, and the Cartridge Family. This was such a fun conversation, and it was a pleasure to meet Mike for the very first time. It will not be his last time, I can guarantee you that. New episodes drop every Tuesday wherever you get your podcast, and make sure to follow, like, and subscribe to this podcast, and make sure you do not miss an episode. You can follow me on Facebook at Zach Snow, Zach Snow NL on Instagram, and you can subscribe to the Musical Connections NL official YouTube channel, where you'll see video versions of my conversations I have each and every single week. There's so many ways to stay connected, so get on that and support independent media. That's going to wrap up episode 114 of the Musical Connections podcast. Thank you so much for connecting with me once again. I've been your host, Zach Snow. Join me next week, where once more, we will highlight the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. Stay safe, be kind to each other, and most importantly, stay connected. Until next time, bye for now.